Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host Lily Mensah-Yeboah and my guest today is the delightful Helen Wolby. Helen is the managing director of the only female-owned motorbike scrapyard in the United Kingdom. The company is called Recycle Scooters Limited, and she is also the chair of diversity at the Federation of Small Businesses. You would think this lady wasn't busy enough. She is doing a doctoral degree, and I think for the average person like me, that means she's doing her PhD at the University of South Wales. How does she do it? We're going to find out now.
And she's actually taken time out of her schedule to come and have tea with me on my magic sofa. I am so excited.
And I am as well. And I'm super comfy with my teacup. Thoroughly looking forward to this.
What's your favourite tea, since we're talking about tea?
Well, I don't drink coffee at all.
Oh.
So I am a complete teapot. Mm-hmm. And obviously, living in Wales, we do copious amounts of tea. So in work at the moment, we have rooibos tea. Mm-hmm. And we have normal black tea. And we have green tea and we have jasmine flower tea.
Wow.
So we are quite a teapot head. At the moment, I think probably rooibos tea is probably my favourite because it's quite refreshing.
Right.
I can drink copious amounts of it. I don't end up feeling like I'm full of tea. And I drink it black. I don't really understand the concept of milk in tea.
That's interesting. I do like a bit of... I do like my tea really... Well, if it's regular tea, I have it really, really milky. Very strong and very milky. That's me.
Yeah, I have it really weak and naked.
Naked tea. No sugar, no milk. No chaser.
Perhaps very occasionally a bit of lemon. But if I was having
lemon.
Like chamomile, perhaps with a bit of lemon in.
Yeah.
Or honey. Ginger with a bit of lemon. Never done honey and tea.
Have you?
No, I've done honey and hot water but and lemon if I'm feeling a bit poorly, but not...
And you chase it with whiskey?
No.
No, especially
not at work. No.
Oh, dear. Listen, thank you again for coming on. I'm going to ask a series of questions. So, how did you come to be involved in motorbikes and scrapyards and stuff like that?
Okay, me and my husband had an outside catering business. Mm-hmm. And we were serving vegetarian, vegan, and organic food all across the UK.
Right.
So we were going to really big national events. It was really, really good fun. I loved working with him. And he got a tiny burn on his finger that got very seriously infected.
Okay.
And he nearly died. Ah. And nearly lost his arm. Had lots of surgery on his hand. And they managed to save his life and save his hand. But our business went bust. So we owed a very large amount of money because I decided to stay at the hospital instead of going to work because I didn't think he was going to survive.
As you do.
So I did that. And then obviously we had a huge debt. So we were looking at setting up a business, helping busy professionals have an easier life.
Yeah.
And while we were doing that, we decided to sell some motorbike parts and we sold some. And then we bought some more and then we sold them and then we bought a motorbike that didn't go.
But was it your own personal motorbike you sold first?
Well, when the business went bust, we sold everything.
Mm.
So we sold our catering trailer, our van, our car, all our motorbikes. We sold literally everything we owned, bar the dog, the books, and obviously my rather non-working husband, as he only had one arm that worked properly. We got rid of everything. We were 2 months away from having our house repossessed.
Oh my goodness.
We had no gas and electric in the middle of winter because we'd had them disconnected. And we were in dire straits. So I saw some motorbike parts on the internet at a friend's house.
Right.
So I was looking at things I could never afford, like motorbikes, Louboutin shoes, holidays.
Who can afford those?
No. and saw this job lot of motorbike parts. And I spoke to my father and spoke to my father-in-law and said, I've got an idea for setting up a business. And it was going to cost me £7,500 to buy these parts. And could they lend me... I said I'd got nearly all the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 750 quid short. And could they lend me half shares on the 750 quid? The parts were 750 quid. There was no £7,500. I lied to both of them. And I got them to lend me the money.
Yeah.
I went and bought these motorbike parts. I knew nothing about motorbike parts. I rode a motorbike and I serviced it. But I knew nothing about the parts industry.
Yeah.
But I just thought I could make money on them. And so I bought them. And then 2 days later, I contacted a specialist Honda company and said, I've got this small lot of Honda stuff. Do you want to buy it? It's all new. And they said, yeah, we'll give you 500 quid for it. So they bought it.
Right.
And then I gave my dad 200 quid, gave my husband's dad 200 quid, spent £100 on a motorbike that didn't go.
Right.
And Steve taught me how to repair it. So we sat on the floor at a friend's garage, and he taught me how to repair this bike, because I had no knowledge, but he did. But I had two working hands,
yes,
and he didn't. So we repaired the motorbike, sold it for 400 quid, and then bought another one. And that was 12 years ago.
12 years ago.
And I've now got 1,100 square feet in my unit, 800 square feet upstairs, 4 staff. I trade all over the world, and I've got most of the West Midlands Police Salvage contract.
Wow. And I mean, that is amazing. But I'm not sure if I'm taller than you, or you're taller than me, but
nearly everybody is taller than me. I'm 5'3".
You're taller than me.
Am I?
Yes.
Wow.
You're taller. You're sitting, so you're taller than me. But how do people, I mean, first of all, woman, and, you know, a slender, petite woman, how do people treat you when you get into those things? I'm sure they must think, this is somebody's daughter or something. What's she doing here?
I'll give you two examples. Right. When I very first started trading 12 years ago, I went to a big scrap yard with a look at buying some bikes. And I met their site foreman, who was like, is this your business? I was like, yeah. And he then just fell about laughing, literally just stood there and laughed in my face. And
I can imagine.
Love, you are never going to last in this business. You can't run a scrapyard. You can never do this. It will never work. Go home and get yourself a proper job. And I just thought, I'm going to prove you wrong, mate.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 2 weeks ago, I went, so this is fast forward to now. Obviously, 2 weeks ago, I went to a new big scrap company. And obviously, I have another role with the Federation of Small Businesses. So I was going off to go and give a talk. And I went to the scrapyard in all my work clothes. So I had steel toe cut boots on, and my overalls, and a hoodie, and my big gloves. And I went to pick up a load of motorbikes. And I can pick up the back of a motorbike. So I was putting these small motorbikes in the back of my van, chucking them in. And I asked the guys at the scrapyard if I could then go and get changed afterwards, because I was going to give a talk in a big posh hotel. But I said to them, you know, is this somewhere I can get changed? And they're like, why do you want to get changed? I was like, well, I have another role where sometimes in the evening I go to different places, and I'm going off to a hotel this evening, and I need to put different clothes on. And one of the guys at the scrapyard came up to me and went, are you a stripper, love? And I was just like,
stripper?
What? I went, what do you mean? He went, well, if you're travelling to different places in the country and you're wearing different clothes, is that because you're a stripper? And I was like, no. No, I'm the managing director of a company. And I said, and also I work with the Federation of Small Businesses to support women in business across the whole of the UK.
And what did he say?
And he couldn't get it. And he assumed that as a woman, if I had a job in the evening that was a different job to where I normally worked and I travelled, the only job he could think of that a woman might do was to work as a stripper.
Wow, how amazing.
Yeah, and they couldn't get over the fact that, one, I ran a breakers and could pick up the back of a motorbike, and two, they couldn't get over the fact that I did something else that involved keeping my clothes on. And that was literally 2 weeks ago.
So, you know, things haven't really changed that much.
Most places don't have nude calendars anymore.
Well, I suppose that's a good thing.
It's a very good thing, but some of them still do. This is 2016. You know, there is a lot of progress that still needs to be made in the industry. You know, there is a lot that needs to be
I have a confession. I do have Magic Mike XXL in my office. Is that bad?
Yeah.
Well, that time they go their own back.
Yeah, perhaps you need to get one with dogs on or something.
Yeah, oh well.
Yeah, as a woman, it is very hard in the industry, I mean. But the good thing is, because I've been trading for 12 years, people do now take me seriously, and I can demonstrate the fact that I can do what I do. I know my craft, I have the technical knowledge, I can do this, so it's okay. It's not great, but it's okay.
Cool. If you were a 16-year-old school leaver back in the day, if somebody was sitting in front of your careers officer and it asked you, Helen, what would you like to be?
What would you have told them?
Happy. That's okay. The simplest answer. Happy. I would want to be happy. As an entrepreneur, the only thing I want to be is happy. And if you find in life what makes you happy, then you find, how do I make money out of what makes me happy?
Exactly.
You will never ever work a day in your life, because you will do what you love. And what we try to do is we try to find things that make people money, and then we try to convince them how they can be happy about doing it.
Yeah.
And we do it entirely the wrong way around.
Yeah.
If you can find something, whether it's a job or an enterprise, or voluntary work, or a social enterprise, or charity work, whatever it is, but find that passion, that thing that ignites you, that thing that makes you want to get up in the morning, or makes you want to stop an injustice that you see, or makes you want to change something that needs changing. Find that passion, and that is the perfect job for you, because everybody has one thing, at least one thing.
At least one thing. And then I say, what would you do on a Saturday morning? Get up on a Saturday morning when, if you don't have to, or would you still get up and go and do?
I never have to, in effect, get up if I don't want to, because I run and own the company. I don't have to go to work in the morning. I have staff. I get up in the morning because I'm really blessed that I've woken up that morning. You know, I've got another whole day, 24 hours of amazing things I can fit into that day. If I had a weekend off, I would probably have a lazy morning in bed, because I don't get to spend lots of quiet time with my husband. That would be lovely. I would probably go out for lunch.
Yes.
Because eating food and being able to afford to eat food and sharing that food with other people is one of the biggest pleasures and luxuries we can have in life.
Absolutely.
There are so many people who don't have that luxury.
Yes, exactly.
And I would then probably go and thrash around in my allotment in the afternoon, because in theory I have an allotment and I grow things. In reality, I mainly dig holes in my allotment and occasionally eat things I grow, which is not very often because mainly the slugs eat them. I'm bad at allotmenting. At the moment, I have broad beans, I have lettuces, I have cabbages, and I have lots and lots of fruit bushes, mainly because the slugs are not very good at eating the fruit bushes, rather than because I'm particularly good at growing them. And I think a perfect end to a day would be a couple of hours down the allotment after lunch, ride on the motorbike for the afternoon, and then dinner in a nice country pub or in my favourite curry house.
And what's the motorbike for you?
Oh. I think I'm going to say whatever I have in stock at the time.
Oh.
Only because I think change is really good. I think it's really healthy. I think variety in life is really good. And I like the fact that I'm not beholden to any one thing I own. So
okay.
I like the fact I can ride all sorts of different things, and I can ride whatever appeals to me on my mood. So I might fancy something a bit cruisery, or I might fancy something a bit sporty. And I've got different things in work. We're not a big place, but we've got some different things, so I can pick and choose
whatever's in stock. You're so blessed, you're so lucky.
And
you will pay it all off.
I'm still getting there, and it's all, you know, it's all going in the right direction. Nearly all of it's been paid, so that's good. And you know, I work with my best friend.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing.
That's a joy. That is a real joy. Every day to go to work with my best friend is a real joy. And he still has two arms. You know, thanks for the National Health.
What more can he?
Yeah.
NHS. Let's not talk about NHS right now. Considering. You must have some. I've seen you in all these stylish shoes. What? Yeah, I have seen you. They're no less than 3 inches, right?
Yeah.
No less than 3 inches. And maybe it's because of your height, whatever. But half the time I can't see you in your, you know, overalls and your big boots, and then the next minute there's you in your, you know, wonderful shoes and hosiery and all that. So how do you marry the two?
I passionately love both of them. I love what I do with motorbikes. It's great fun.
Yeah.
But I did ballet until I was 16, and I did point. So I was very happy on point, which means that wearing 3, 4, 5, 6 inch heels is not an issue, because I obviously did ballet for years, and I have tiny, tiny, tiny feet. So I love having fantastic dainty shoes. And it's all a black, because...
They're all black?
No, it's all a black, because I am appalling at makeup.
Oh.
Truly appalling at makeup. So if I do fantastically outrageous shoes and hosiery, nobody ever notices the fact I'm not wearing any makeup. And it is just simply a blag. I've had lessons and I look appalling. I cannot manage to put it on my face in any semblance of normality. I look quite frightening. So okay. I have now given up.
All right, I have to give you lessons because I'm actually a trained makeup artist.
Excellent.
For my sins.
Does that mean I can come for more tea with Lily?
Yes, you can have more tea and then we'll just have it. Put the makeup bag out and we can just play with makeup like we were kids, you know, teenage girls.
I like that plan.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll come back. What is your mantra in life? Just one line.
Be happy.
Be happy.
Be happy. Be happy.
Be happy.
Be happy. Be happy.
Be happy. Just wake up.
Be happy.
Be happy.
Be happy with what you've got. Be happy about wanting more. Be happy about striving. Just be happy. If you've got lots, you should be happy with that. If you've got hardly anything, you should be happy with that. It doesn't say you don't want more, but be happy.
Be happy.
The world is full of angry people, and the world needs to be full of happy people.
I like that.
And if
that.
I can spread a bit of that happiness, if it can like infect people with happiness,
yeah.
Be happy is a nice mantra to live by.
Fantastic. Now Helen, you wear many hats as an entrepreneur, as a biker chick, as a PhD student.
Yeah.
Can we mention that?
Yeah.
PhD student.
Yeah. A lecturer at my local university.
Yeah, you do all these things.
Yeah.
Which one is by far your favourite career pastime?
Because if I had a favourite one, I would only do one. I love the fact, just like I take different motorbikes home, just like the fact I have different tea in my unit, I love that blend. I love the fact that I challenge myself intellectually with my studying. I love the fact I learn from my students as well as teach them. I love the fact that I have a business that can grow and support people in my local community.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that with my FSB role, I can help shape policy to support other women.
Yes.
That is a perfect job. It just so happens that it's a blend of lots of different ones, but it's a perfect job.
So your FSB role, tell us a little bit more about that.
I'm the National Chair for Diversity and Health, and I am representing 177,000 members across the whole of the UK, and I help support what they need and lobby for effective policy. And we've just produced a fantastic report called Women in Enterprise, the Untapped Potential. And we launched that in Wales. And we've just had a parliamentary launch in Westminster as well, which is fantastic. So we had some of the members of Parliament and the House of Lords come, and lots of fantastic women entrepreneurs. And it is about getting everybody to be aware of how much potential women have, and it's focusing on all the positives that we get from getting more women in business
and more, you know, connecting together, sharing, collaboration, and which we're normally very good at. We probably just need
more tools
and ways to do it effectively,
and sometimes just an opportunity to talk to each other
in a cup of tea.
Yes,
in a cup of tea.
Absolutely.
If you had three, this is just a final wrap up, you had three tips, whether for women, whether it's women, you know, generally for women in enterprise, what would be your top three tips?
Find your passion, whatever that is, and try and make money from it.
Right.
Don't give up.
Right.
And wherever you are on the journey, reach out and find people who can help.
Okay. So, we are done, and thank you very much.
My pleasure.